Formulate the problems in enumeration, in understanding enumeration. What are the main difficulties you have? Main difficulties. And one of them are common questions. Yes? In other words, Mamanusha. We apparently understand that after the chayt he was reduced. His yetzahara became stronger, right? So how could he be a chayt before? If the Chazal say that there's a difference before, was he in a pure state before? Then he couldn't sin. He wasn't in a pure state before, so then what's the difference before and after? Alright? In other words, if he was in a pure state, apparently we learned that before he was in a pure state, and now he was reduced to a lower level. Okay, so you can understand chayt afterwards, but what's chayt, how could chayt occur before? Yes?
Can I interpret this question as being
the yetzer was external, and now the yetzer was internalized. Right? Okay, what exactly does it mean? We have to understand what it means. The second thing we have to understand is what are the changes that occur to him? What exactly occurred to Adam Arishan? I mean, certain changes occurred. And then the third thing is that we have to understand is how these changes are related to the whole scheme of the creation. Because the Torah goes out of its way to put this, not just simply a Maisa with Adam Arishan, but the Maisa of Adam Arishan is tied into the Briyas Olam. Is tied into Briyas Olam. Because you see, when Esther gets finished with Sheish Shemei Bereishis, it says, Eila Tildei Sashamayim V'Oretz Biboram, B'yei Masei Sarashem Olekim Eretz Hashamoyim, V'chol Siach Asadatayim Yevoretz, V'chol Eser Asadatayim Yitzmach, V'yitza Hashem Olekim Eto Adam Ofer Min Adoma, V'yipach Papav Nishmas Chayim, V'yi Adam Nefesh Chaya. So, you see that, that the Torah is not just simply an incident, like we learned about before, about Sedaim and Light, but this incident is integrally related to Briyas Shemayim, Briyas Adam, to Bereishis, right? Of course, this was a Mukkaim that because of this, the Bible critics were the first ones to jump in this area. So it looks like two accounts of creation over here. Two accounts of creation. Chazal say, of course, that it's one account, but later it's telling you what happened before. But we have to understand why. So apparently the Sipur HaMaisa of Adam Rishon wasn't just a Sipur HaMaisa, but it's tied in with creation. And the fact that it's tied in with creation is underlined by one fact. What is that? What is the fact? The difference, Rashi says in the beginning, in Bereishis, the difference between the use of Elohim in the first account and then the use of Arashem Elohim in the second account. Arashem Elohim. Why in the first account do you have Elohim and in the second account do you have Arashem Elohim? So what's the answer? There's a difference between Elohim and Arashem Elohim. What is Elohim? Elohim is? Midas Adin. Arashem Elohim is? Midas Arachman. Okay. That itself we have to understand. First of all, we have to understand why is the second account more Rachman than the first account? You know, the contrary. Where's the Enish given? Where's the Enish was given when? Second account. The Enish wasn't given. There's no Enish in the first account. So the first account doesn't have any din. Why is the first account din? Why is the second account Rachman? And we have to understand also insofar as the very concept of Midas Adin and Midas Rachman. What does that mean? What does it mean? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two things in front of him that he operates with, two mechanisms. And Hashem Achor Shema Yachor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only, his oneness cannot even be perceived by us. But it's because it's a oneness which is not tied to the physical. My concept of oneness is always, we always have in mind, in the back of mind, a physical object. So you can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two compartments. One is Midas Adin, one is Midas Rachman. And then we'd have a problem, even if we shouldn't say that it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, which of course it can't be, but if you're going to tell me that there's two ways in which he operates, it would be difficult to understand. That he operates in terms of justice and in terms of mercy. I mean, what is the correct way? If justice is correct, so then it's not the place for mercy. If mercy is the correct thing, so then it's not the place for justice. I mean, you can't have both. I mean, there's two types of justice? And what is the just thing? What is the best thing? When a Kadosh Baruch Hu does something to a person, it must be the best thing for him. And that is the sole criterion. It is the best thing for him, so it has to be just, it has to be merciful. You can't say that this act is just and it's not merciful, and this act is merciful and it's not just. I mean, this is ridiculous. There has to be only one, obviously, there must only be one thing which is good for the individual. And that thing must be both just and merciful. Can't be both. Oh. Okay. Let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam really opens up the area. But you need a few principles before you understand exactly what he means. Everybody, I think, is aware of the famous question that Rambam mentions at the beginning of the Maran Avochan. But I'll read it for you again. Anyone that doesn't know it?
No, after
All right, okay. Years ago, a learned man asked me a question of great importance. The problem and the solution which we gave in our reply deserve the closest attention. All right? Now he goes into the homonymity. All right, but let's take the question. This is the question. It would at first sight, said the objector, appear from Scripture that man was originally intended to be perfectly equal to the rest of the animal creation, which is not endowed with intellect, reason, or power of distinguishing between good and evil, but that Adam's disobedience to the command of God procured him that great perfection which is the peculiarity of man, which is the power of distinguishing between good and evil. The noblest of all faculties of our nature, the essential characteristic of the human race, it thus appears strange that the punishment for rebelliousness should be the means of elevating man to a pinnacle of perfection to which he had not attained previously. This is equivalent to saying that a certain man was rebellious and extremely wicked, wherefore his nature was changed for the better, and he was made to shine as a star in the heavens. Okay? Right? Good kasha, huh? Good kasha. Ah, what's to be greater? Knowledge of good and evil. And yet Adam Rishon didn't know it until he didn't have Avera. The Avera gave him this wonderful perception. Such was the purport and the subject of the question, though not in the exact words of the inquirer. Now mark our reply, which was as follows. You appear to have studied the matter superficially, and nevertheless you imagine that you can understand the book which has been the guide of past and present generations when you for a moment withdraw from your lusts and appetites and glance over its contents as if you were reading a historical work or some poetical composition. Collect your thoughts and examine the matter carefully, for it is not to be understood as you at first sight think, but as you will find after due deliberation. All right? Okay, so one of them first him asks that first the Rambam calls him a big kochim, then he tells him he's a big tippish. What's the answer? The question was a good one. The question showed reason. And we don't have the whole letter they wrote to Rambam. But it was obvious to the Rambam that the man was an intelligent man and a learned man. The only mistake was, his mistake was insofar as knowledge of Torah was concerned. That area he didn't have any knowledge. He thought, he looked at it superficially, because he didn't have one important thing. He didn't have one concept. Namely, that the Torah is a very deep book, and it cannot be treated superficially. You see, but that doesn't mean you can't say he's not learned. He's learned, but insofar as this is concerned, he's making a total error. And that is the error that prevented him from seeing the idea over here, because he looked at it superficially. No, that's something else. Okay, that which was granted to man as the highest endowment was bestowed on him before his disobedience. With reference to this gift, the Bible states that man was created in the form and likeness of God. On account of this gift of intellect, man was addressed by God and received his commandments, as it is said, and the Lord God commanded Adam. For no commandments are given to the brute creation or to those who are devoid of understanding. You can't have a tzivos. V'yetzav ad Hashem elokim al Adam lemor mikol eitz hagon ochel tevel u'me'eitz hadas tevel l'tzechel mimenu pen zigul and tzivos. Okay. So the tzivos, the command, and I would assume the every tzivos, every mitzvah is not just a simple mitzvah. Mitzvah is also, as we know mitzvahs, the mitzvah Kodesh Baruch Hu are precise and formulated and are conceptual. And Adam Rishon's first mitzvah was the same way. Adam Rishon couldn't understand the mitzvah conceptually if he didn't have any mind. So obviously the man had a mind, had an intellect. Okay. Then it answers like this. Through the intellect, man distinguishes between the true and the false. This faculty Adam possessed perfectly and completely. The right and the wrong are terms employed in the science of apparent truth, not in that of necessary truth. As, e.g., it is not correct to say, in reference to the proposition the heavens are spherical, it is good, or to declare the assertion that the earth is flat to be bad. But we say, of the one it is true, and the other it is false. Similarly, our language expresses the idea of true and false by the terms emes and sheker, of the morally right and the morally wrong, by tov and ra. Thus it is the function of the intellect to discriminate between the true and the false, a distinction which is applicable to all objects of intellectual perception. When Adam was yet in a state of innocence and was guided solely by reflection and reason, on account of which it says, in Tillim, thou hast made him little lower than the angels, he was not at all able to follow or to understand the principles of the apparent truth. The most manifest impropriety to appear in a state of nudity was nothing unbecoming, according to his idea. He could not comprehend why it should be so. After man's disobedience, however, when he began to give way to desires which had their source in his imagination, and to the gratification of his bodily appetites, as it is said, and the wife saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to the eyes, he was punished by the loss of part of that intellectual faculty which he had previously possessed. He therefore transgressed a command with which he had been charged in the score of his reason, and having obtained the knowledge of the apparent truth, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what improper. Then he fully understood the magnitude of his loss, of the loss he had sustained, what he had forfeited, and in what situation he was thereby placed. Okay? That's the essence of the Ramtat. Okay, I think more people understand the Kasha than the Teretz. Teretz is a little difficult to understand. What does that really mean? What does it mean? It's true. It is true what he's saying, that true and false, you say insofar as science, correct? Good and evil, you wouldn't say it's good that the world is round, right? It's evil that the world is flat. That's true. But you could say it is true that if I do this, I will harm myself. You could say it is true that if I do this, it is not good. I mean, the question is, where exactly do you draw the line? I mean, true and false could be used insofar as the, would appear true and false could be used insofar as the other science are concerned also. It's good, it is true that if you do this, it is good. It's not true, it's false. If you do this, it's harmful. But what exactly does it mean? What does it not mean? Okay. Yeah. Let's understand the what exactly took place. What exactly happened to Adam Rishon? Okay? Now, the first thing was he received the commandment that he shouldn't eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tova Ra. Correct? Okay. What happened, what occurred? He did eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tova Ra. And once he ate from the Eitz HaDaas Tova Ra, two changes took place. All right. Now, the changes, we must understand the changes that took place in order to understand what exactly the Rambam is talking about. One change that took place is obvious in the pasuk. What's the change that took place? Yep. He realized that he was naked. Okay. What was that? What happened over there? It says, what does it mean? But the pakachna ene shnei and vayedu kirumim. Even the Summa knows that there was one in his mind. Elamal vayedu kirumim him mitzvah achas haya biyodam. The nisad lo emenu. They had one mitzvah and they lost it. One mitzvah and they lost it. It's interesting. You have to understand how the Chazal, how the Medrash fits in with the pasuk. But let's take the Eved Ezra mentions in the beginning of Echa. It's like Zomar Echa that every Medrash, if it looks like something that's extraneous, something superadded to the pasuk, you don't understand the pasuk. Because once you understand the pasuk, see how all the midrashim fit right in. What happened over here? What occurred? Yes. The pasuk doesn't say, but that's true. But what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says one thing. Now what? The pasuk says that a new faculty, something new, occurred in his psyche. A new dimension was added to his mind, to his mental apparatus. What was the new dimension? What did he feel? What was the feeling? The feeling of shame. Correct. The feeling of shame. Now that feeling of shame comes from a certain faculty of the mind. You see, the mind can think, can produce thoughts, can understand concepts. That's a faculty, the logical faculty of the mind. Correct? There is in man instinctual desires. If there are instinctual desires, then there must be a faculty in man which produces these instinctual desires. Correct? Now, when there is shame, the moment that he felt shame, what does this mean? That a new faculty was produced. A faculty which made him feel ashamed. You see? Now this faculty that made him feel ashamed, can we identify it? What is it exactly? Do we have it today? I mean, assume we have it. What do you call conscience? So at first, the conscience, apparently the root of the conscience is insofar as the sexual area is concerned. That's why Vayedu Ki Rumanein. Because that's the source of the conscience. It remains that way. That's the way it is. The source of the conscience is due to the shame is closely related to the sexual area. That's why I felt the shame that it was naked. But the conscience doesn't just remain in that area. The conscience, that same feeling, expresses itself not only in regard to sexual matters, but expresses itself in regard to other matters as well. That's why Rashi brings down what does Chazal say? Chazal say, what does it mean? Afasumi adekishuar. What do you mean? Like the pakach lein his name, and now he realizes he's naked. A blind man knows when he's naked. He can feel it. The yedu, so elamav ha yedu ki rumim heim. Mitzvah achas hayah b'yodam v'nisatlu himenu. It wasn't the physical knowledge, but it was a whole new dimension, which a whole new feeling, which applied itself, a feeling of conscience, which applied itself to many areas, expressed itself in the immediate, concept of shame, insofar as the sexual area is concerned, but insofar as other areas also, insofar as mitzvahs, insofar as not doing the right thing. So for the first time, Adam had a new constellation, a new part of the brain was created, a new part of his mind and his psyche, which was the faculty of conscience. Correct? That was one change that Adam Rishon underwent. One change. Okay. What was... Yes?
Yeah.
The conscience is not really... We'll get back to the conscience. It's not really a knowledgeable thing. We'll get back to it. It's an emotion. It's a certain feeling. Now, why was the conscience created? So the Torah tells us that conscience was created when Adam ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tevara. Now, there must be something tied into the Achila from the Eitz HaDaat Tevara. It wasn't just a simple commandment. Just don't eat from this tree. If you eat from this tree, something's going to happen to you. God doesn't want to eat from that tree. God had to put that tree over there, and then he didn't want to eat from that tree. That's not the shot. There's an idea behind this. What exactly happened to him? Why was this conscience produced? Yes? So where's the key? How do you trace it back? It says that a new thing happened to him. The conscience was created, correct? Now, where are we going to find the reason for the creation of this conscience? Where are we going to find it? In the Chayit, right? In the Pesukim, right? In the Pesukim as well. Okay, let's take a look. This is Pasuk Zayin, Vatipotach Menesh Nehem Le'edek Rumeim. All right? You understand what I mean by what Chazal said, that he had one mitzvah? It gave him a new dimension, a new way of looking at things, a new way of feeling about things. Okay. Vateira ho'isha kitev ha'etz l'machol v'chisavahu v'inayim v'nechmod ha'etz l'haskil v'tikach mipirya v'techal v'tiken gan l'isha ima v'yechal. So what is the emphasis? What happened over here? Kitev ha'etz l'machol v'chisavahu l'inayim. What was the essence of the eighth? What was the essence of the eighth?
Yeah.
The essence of the eighth was closely related to, was in fact, what? Taiva. So really, the moment he ate from the eighth, what happened to him? His taiva was somehow or other increased. His taiva was somehow or other increased. Correct? And the moment his taiva was increased, then what else happened? Then the new faculty of the mind was produced. Now all these things have to be in cause and effect relationship. You understand what I mean? What is the reason why conscience had to be created? Why? Because the taifa was increased. Now we have to understand one thing. In what way was the taifa increased? When we say taifa was increased, it's because it wasn't large. There's two types of increasing. You can increase something quantitatively, and you can increase something qualitatively. All right? Over here, it wasn't simply a quantitative increase. It was a qualitative increase. What was the qualitative increase? What was it? That was Yetzirah mibifnim, after the chayt. Yetzirah mibichutz, before the chayt. What does it mean, Yetzirah mibifnim, Yetzirah mibichutz? What exactly does it mean? What does it mean? So Chazal gave a muscle. Chazal said like this. That before the chayt, if he saw Chava, he was misava. If he didn't see her, he wasn't misava. But after the chayt, roya v'ein roya, misava. Whether he sees her or whether he doesn't see her, he desires her. What does it mean? What exactly does it mean? For the chait, his energy naturally was used for what? For chachma. That's what it says. That Adam Rishon was created. He was able to vayikol and shemes. He called all the behemoths, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole creation HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought before him, and he was able to classify and understand. This is this type. This is that type. He was busy in understanding the universe. He was busy in contemplating chachma Hashem. Correct. So his energy naturally flowed where? To Chachma. But after the Chait, what happened? What happened the moment he ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tevara? What happened? So the energy was rerouted now. Now the energy goes initially to where? To the Taivas. And if he wants to use it for Chachma, so then he has to make a bypass. You understand what I mean? He has to change the direction of the channel. He must change the direction.
Completely in the other area.
That's the Yetzer Mibifnim. Mibifnim means that the Yetzer immediately operates that way. That's what I mentioned to you before. That's why I said that what's the difficulty in learning? The difficulty in learning is because initially, the taiva is the energy goes to the taiva. You follow? So the difficulty in learning is to make that's the tolerance, to make that break, to take the taiva and to rechannel it, redirect it. But the moment you redirect it, then if you develop the ability to learn and to concentrate and to work on thought, so then the moment you work in Torah, the moment you start working in ideas, the tolerance isn't a problem anymore. Because the tolerance is only a problem in the rerouting process. And as the person increases his ability to learn, so then there's no problem because he's enjoying the thought itself. But it requires an effort. It requires not effortless. And even the person who's involved in Torah, it's true, the person doesn't learn, he really enjoys it. And then if he goes away for a couple of hours, so immediately the whole energy system starts rerouting itself. See, that's the difference between us and someone that's only gone in. The person, Gedolei Yisrael, are constantly in this area. Once you come from that area, you just keep going. But the moment you stop and you pull out of it, so then you have to do it again. You have to go through that tolerance again. You follow? That's the hope. Okay. So now we understand what the chait was. The chait was an external stimulus. That's why the nachash you mentioned before, the nachash was external. Machlokes question Rishonim whether it was nachash, whether it was a real nachash or not a real nachash, the whole machlokes, whether it's symbolic or whether it's actual, the Rishonim talk about it. But that doesn't concern us. The concept is nevertheless remains the same. What is the concept? The limud is the same. The limud is that originally was an external stimulus and later it was internalized. Now what happened the moment it was internalized? The moment it was internalized, that was the fatal blow for man. Fatal blow, why? Because if the stimulus is internalized, so then he's finished. I mean, to pull away is going to be, you're not going to be such an easy matter anymore. So the whole purpose of Adam was to make a creature who is constantly involved in thought. But now it's not going to be the same. So what was added? The conscience was added. Why? Because the conscience always operates against the instinct. See, the instinct, the taivas of Adam, the main taivas are of a sexual nature. That's what Sarah says. So those main taivas are opposed by what? By the conscience. Person, if he does something wrong, he feels guilty. That's a very good thing that he feels guilty. Very good thing. So why is it a good thing? Because the moment he feels guilty, so he's caught. And when he's caught, what happens when he's caught? If he's caught properly, if he handles the way he's caught properly, what happens? What does he do? So then, what does he have to do? Then, what does he have to do? He has to reflect. Then he has to start reflecting. But if he wasn't caught, if he wasn't stopped by the opposition of the conscience, he would never stop. Then they would keep on going. Do you follow? The taiva, the energy goes into the taiva, and that's it. Goodbye. The intellect wouldn't work too much. But what was necessary in order for man to be saved at that point was the creation of another faculty of the conscience. You understand? The creation of the conscience. And the moment there's a conscience, now the conscience works in opposition. So you have one thing that's working really against the taivas. That's the feeling of guilt, the feeling of inadequacy. When he has that feeling and he realizes his state, then he can start using his intellect again to get back to the life of Chachma. But had other Marishan remained without the conscience, so then he would have been finished. Yes?
Why can't the intellect?
Could perceive the futility of sin, but there's only one problem. What's the problem? How many people, what's really, when you take a look at people's lives, sometimes a person's life can be summarized in one sentence. Why? Because the sentence is that there was a certain way in which his emotions set themselves up, and that was it for the next 50 years. Okay. Why? Because what happened to his intellect? Why does a man think there's so many contradictions? When a person starts analyzing life, when a person starts studying Torah, and he sees so many contradictions in people's life, open contradictions that they live with, you wonder, how can they do that? Once you find out, you're really amazed. Sometimes Torah brings their attention, but most of the time it's not too helpful. But the reason is, what's the reason? Because the intellect isn't working. The intellect isn't good. They have good minds. Most people can understand simple things in philosophy of life and their Haim, but what causes it? Because the intellect isn't free anymore. The intellect isn't free. The energy is directed towards the instinct, and the instincts are so powerful that they corrupt the thinking process. As a matter of fact, the instinct exerts a tremendous effect on the thinking process. That's why I say rationalization. What's rationalization? Because the instincts want to have what they want. And therefore they'll rationalize, we'll argue this way today and the next way tomorrow. People want to say, how can you argue with this? Yesterday gives me one reason, they go, no, what's the reason? It's very simple, because the instincts want to be satisfied. It's an instinctual activity first, and then the intellect comes in later. Later the intellect comes in. The intellect is whenever it's needed, whenever you want to rationalize, so then you use the intellect. That's really the difference between a chacham that we went through last time. A chacham is a person whose intellect is a free agent, and the average individual who is not a chacham, his intellect isn't subservient to the emotions. That's like a behemoth. A behemoth also has a certain amount of intellect. And all the experiments that they make with animals, which they try to show that an animal is similar to a person, but he's not, there's a quantitative difference, they're making one mistake. What's the mistake they're making? It's not a quantitative difference, no matter what you do to the monkey. It's not a quantitative difference. The monkey will still operate always. What is the basic will? What is the basic motivating factor? The instinct, and everything else is only for that. So there's a qualitative differentiation. Adam, man, is the only one that has a qualitatively differentiated intellect. His intellect is not in subservience to his instinct, but his intellect is a free agent. He can actually get a free picture of reality. And if he does, of course, then he's living like a chacham. Most people don't. Yes. Therefore, there was a new entity was created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw one thing, that if Adam didn't have the counterforce, the conscience, he'd never be able to live correctly anymore. The moment he was changed, by virtue of the fact, from indulging in taiva, the indulgence in taiva caused one thing. The indulgence in taiva caused this taiva to be changed. The moment the energy system was rerouted, was changed, then without a counterforce, he would have been finished. He would have been dead. What does it mean, dead? Why? Because his existence would be equal to his non-existence. And there's no purpose in the creature anymore, because then that's death. Death means the taiva to be changed. The moment the energy system was rerouted, was changed, then without a counterforce, he would have been finished. He would have been dead. What does it mean, dead? Why? Because his existence would be equal to his non-existence. And there's no purpose in the creature anymore, so then that's death. Death means higher than means one thing. There's no purpose in his life, because God created a certain type of creature, this type. The moment it's another type, that's not part of the creation. So that's the end of it. He's dead. Yes. Oh, you have no Bechira anymore. Man is supposed to have Bechira. Okay. Yeah. Why exactly? How do we resolve the thing? Oh, it's not very simple, because the sin caused the change in his... So let's go back. So now, apparently, eating from the eighth of Das caused a change in Adam Rishon, right? And this change necessitated a counter change, right? Okay. What does this show you? What does it show you one thing? Now it shows you one thing. What does it show you? In terms of what?
It shows something about the nature of time.
Don't forget about that. I'm not speaking about in terms of... Not in so far as Adam's concerned. Insofar as what? So far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. It shows you one thing, that there's a tremendous difference in the creation between the behemoths and the highest and the rest of the universe and the creation of Adam. What was the difference between the creation of Adam and between the creation of the behemoths and the highest? What was the difference? Very big difference. Yes? Why is the Sipra Maisa not like a Sipra Maisa that's dying, but it's a Sipra Maisa that the Torah emphasizes tied in with creation? That's why the Apocryphum always take this as this to account. Ah, the reason is what? What does it show you? Yes. Man is the only one that took part in his own creation. See? That's the difference. That's why there's a whole separate account. Eila Tehla Teshemayim V'Aretz. This whole account is separate. Why? Because the Torah is telling you something. That it's true. In the first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the first Torah includes the whole creation, Adam and everything. But then it isolates Adam. That's what Chazal say. It's only telling you what happened beforehand. But why does it have to tell you what's happened beforehand in a separate account? Why? Because the nature of the account is a different one. The other one, an animal, had no part in his creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply made the animal and that was it. But by Adam, it was a completely different type of thing. What was different about Adam? Adam himself took part in his creation. In which part of the creation did he take? Which part? Insofar as what? Insofar as the psyche is concerned. Vayitzar Hashem alakimis Adam ofer min Adama vayipach ba'atov nishmas chayim vayihi Adam nefesh chaya. Everything was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but one thing was created by Adam. What was that? What was created by Adam? The psyche. The way the psyche structured was created by Adam. And how was it created by Adam? Through what? Through an act of Bechira. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Bechira on one mitzvah. That mitzvah wasn't just simply a mitzvah. The mitzvah was one which Adam would be responsible for what type of a being he was going to be. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rambam says that then later, before he didn't have anything with the pantry, but later he realized the change. The change means that he was a different creature later. So who was responsible for him being a different creature? Who? He himself. Okay. Now let's take one more step. Question was, why it says in the two accounts, the first account is Midas Hadin Elohim, and the second account is Areshem Elohim, Midas Harachman, right? We have to understand what Midas Hadin, what Midas Harachman is. All right. Yes? Okay. Right. I mean, either it's this way or that way. That's the one thing which is best. You can't say there's two things which is best. It's best for him to be this way. If Rachmanis can be the worst crime, the person is raising a child, and the child wants something, he's dead for him, right? So he has Rachmanis, he's killing him. Right? I mean, everybody knows that Rachmanis' emotions can be detrimental. Kol ha'marachem alav. Rachmanis something has to be controlled. What is the greatness of Avraham Avinu? We say in the Tefillin Rosh Hashanah, in Mosef, what do you say? V'chovash es rachamav l'aseis r'tzeinecha. Right? So you see Rachmanis could be a bad thing. He had Rachmanis for his son, but it was chovash es rachamav. So Rachmanis, because you have to know what Rachmanis is, always a good thing. Over there, the gavus of Avraham was that he restrained his Rachmanis. The Torah doesn't know the person should always have Rachmanis. That's false. The contrary, sometimes you have to restrain Rachmanis. I will get to that. Now, the point is like this. The difference between Midas Adin and Midas Rachman is as follows. It's not that there are two ways of looking at things, in terms of Adin, in terms of Rachman. There's only one reality, and there's only one thing which is good. The difference is like this. The action is always the best action. But the difference is what causes the action. There are two things which cause the action. One thing which causes the action, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the action of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is simply that this is the ultimate existence, the ultimate thing. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the universe. So what is the cause of the creation? To simply, why is it created this way? Because this is the best way that it should be created. Correct? You follow what I mean? Now, that's Midas Adin. Midas Adin means simply perfection. The reason why it was created is because this is the most perfect thing. Objectively, this is the way it should be. But let's say, for instance, something is created. Correct? And then after the creation of the thing changes to something less perfect. So what happens then? What happens then? What happens then? If you'd abide by the rules of perfection, what would you say? Then it'll perish. Because the whole purpose of the creation was to create a certain type of creature. Now it's not that type of creature. So therefore its existence has no value anymore, so it should perish, correct? But there is another possibility. What's the other possibility? That something should be created as an antidote to the imperfection, and then it can exist again. A new act of creation is necessitated in order for that thing to exist. Because if the thing exists the way it is, it'll be destroyed. So therefore you need something else to be produced. That is what we call Midas HaRachman. Midas HaRachman means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts because of a shortcoming of Adam. You see? Adam was initially created to be a perfect creature. So that means, simply, in terms of the scheme of the blueprint of creation, the perfect blueprint, so the moment he ceases to be that thing which he was, then it means, that's it, annihilation, right? But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in after he has been reduced from what he should have been, and if he creates something else in order that he should be able to continue to exist, that second action of creation, which was brought about by Adam's shortcoming, is called Rachamim. Rachamim, because why? Rachamim, the Rambam says. Rachamim, whenever we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachamim, it means that the term means something that we would call an act of Rachmanis. It's associated to us as Rachmanis. Why? Because the moment Adam sinned, right? So now he deserves Nisa. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in and he saves him by creating another thing. That's called Rachamim. So there is two types of creation. One type of creation is simply the basic because of the blueprint. The second type of creation is why? What brings about the second? What's the Machiah? What's the cause of the second type of creation? The imperfection. The imperfection created by man. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts because of the imperfection created by man, that's called Midas HaRachman. You follow? That's why the first account of Bereshit, the first account. What is the first account? Why is it Midas HaDin? Because in the first account there is only perfect blueprint. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. No perfection. This is Vayashem Kitayv. It was as perfect as it could be. Vayashem Kitayv constantly, and it took him blueprint of creation, perfection. Then in the second account, what happened? Adam made things imperfect. The moment it's imperfect, so it should cease to be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepped in. And what did he do? What did he do? He created something else in order that he should be able to survive. That's called Midas HaRachman. That's called Midas HaRachman. You understand? So therefore, Midas is both, they're both rational in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're both irrational, not the shot that one is less Rachmanis and one is less Din. They're both the perfect action. The difference is only what brings about the action. Is the action brought about because this is the way the thing must be created in terms of the perfect blueprint, or is it brought about because of an imperfection that was created in order that it should be able to continue to exist since there's an imperfection, so another act of creation must be done. You follow? There's no difference in the act in terms of that the act is the correct act. It only has one, there's only one type of action, the correct action. But the difference is what brings about the action. Is it brought about objectively because this is the perfect thing? Or is it brought about because Adam has already interfered with the creation? And the way he's interfered, he really shouldn't exist anymore. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to step in and do another action in order to save him. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu steps in because of man's imperfection, this is called what? Midas HaRachman. Okay. That's why the second account is Midas HaRachman. Where did a Kadosh Baruch Hu step in? Where did a Kadosh Baruch Hu step in? Where did he step in? First he gave Adam the ability to take part in his own creation. Correct? Take part in his own creation. To see what type of creature, what type of psychological, how is the psychic, how is the energy, the distribution of energy, how will it take place? That was the Bechira. What did he do? He made a mistake. He made a mistake, so the distribution of energy was incorrect, imperfect. So where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu step in? Where did he step in? Vayedu Kirulunay. Because the additional, a new faculty was added to him. The faculty of conscience was added to him. The moment he has the faculty of conscience, so then he was permitted to exist. So this new creation of a new faculty by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was what?
That was
Midas HaRachman. That was Midas HaRachman.
Really without that, man would have just kept on going and he was
taught. Okay, just the last point. The last point is, the Rambam mentions that he says he therefore transgressed the command with which he had been charged on the score of his reason, and having obtained the knowledge of the apparent truths, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what is improper. Then he fully understood the magnitude of the loss he had sustained, what he had forfeited, and in what situation he thereby was placed. What was the loss? Let's understand the loss. What was the loss? I mean, the Rambam, you got the loss. Where is the loss?
Even
by itself. And the king stepped in and saved them. So now he's good.
It's not a matter.
And having obtained the knowledge of the apparent truth, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and what is improper. Wholly absorbed. What is the wholly absorbed? This is where the Rambam, this must be underlined. I mean, this is the Rambam's emphasizing over here. But he was wholly absorbed. What was this absorption? What was he absorbed in? What happened to him? Very good. The difference was like this, you see. Before Adam wasn't in conflict. There was no conflict. He exists naturally. As a matter of fact, the Ramban also says this shot. The Ramban says that in the Adam Adam Rishon Teremachet. So he says that before Adam went about his business, just like any other creature, naturally. Other creatures were created to eat straw, grass, tithes. He was created to understand God. So he went around naturally doing what he was supposed to. There was no conflict. But the moment, what happened? The moment he ate, the moment his tithes were increased, and what had to be added? What had to be added? In order to counteract the tithes, what had to be added? Another faculty. Now, once you have two faculties operating in the same person, so what does it mean of necessity? What does it mean? It means conflict. The moment he has conflict, what does he have to do? He has to resolve the conflict. He has to be busy in the art of resolving the conflict. And he has to spend time and energy in that. You understand what I mean? And because of that, what is he losing? What is he losing? He's losing intellect. Because that energy could be used for intellect. You see it? That's the thing. But it couldn't exist any other way. It could not exist any other way. It says on Pasuk Tet, Beis Tet, Vayosa Beinai, The astronomical bodies, I mean, abide by certain rules, by certain laws of the universe, and they operate. Adam also was that way. But his operation was the operation of perceiving chokhmah, the greatest thing that any being could have. But the moment he increased the cyber qualitatively, then something else had to be added. What was added? The conscience. Now he's in conflict. Now he's busy resolving the conflict. And the conflict isn't so easily resolved, because there are many different attributes, many different things that take place. For instance, conscience is a good thing, right? What we just mentioned before, that Rachmanis, a person's the emotions of Rachmanis, which is on the side of the conscience, could be a detrimental thing. Conscience is a good thing, but the only problem is this, that conscience attaches itself many times to specific things. And it can't change. It's attached emotionally to certain things, and it can't change. When you see a person begging at the door, so immediately you're Rachmanis, you have to give him help. But if he's in Russia, so you're destroying society. You're destroying mankind. So therefore, the person must be busy. These emotions are always coming into play, and he has to be busy now sifting out. This emotion now tells me to do this. Maybe on the contrary, maybe the emotion of Tithe now is the right thing. Maybe the emotion of this is the right thing. There is no one emotion that a person can guide himself by. The only thing that counselor could do is create a certain awareness in him that if he is successful, he can resolve the problem because he sees different sides, different emotions, and then he could resolve exactly intellectually what the correct thing to do and abide by that emotion. But the emotion is always there. So the loss that he had sustained was before the whole world, this whole world didn't exist. This whole concept didn't exist. But now it does. And that's why the moment Adam ate from the eighth of Torah, and conflict was implanted in man, it's true, there is a way out of the conflict. But he has to be busy with getting out of it. You follow? And that's why, basically, that's the difficulty, that's why man's happiness is an impossibility. Just plain simple happiness is impossible. Why is it impossible? People always try to be like, today they want to have natural flow, natural happiness. What does it mean? It's impossible. Why is it impossible? It's possible for an animal, it's possible. It's possible for a child, a young child, it's possible. But it's never possible for a human being who is developed. Why? Because inherently, what is there? Conflict. His nature is conflict. And the moment his nature is conflict, happiness already is very elusive. There's only one way. The person can resolve the conflict with the best of his ability. Then he can achieve a certain amount of happiness. But otherwise, it's almost impossible. Because inherently he's created with conflict. That's the key. Obviously, what exactly was it, the Eitz HaDaas, whatever? I mean, Chisavahu Leinayim Venechmod Eitz Lahaskil. I mean, what exactly was there? You see, Adam HaRishon, there was one of the motivating factors which was involved was he knew that the Eitz HaDaas Tevaro would change his nature. He knew that, you see. That's why the Rambam mentions when he began to give way to desires which had their source in his imagination and to the gratification of his bodily appetites, you see? So the thing was that he knew that it was something there. That's the whole mitzvah there. That the yisim kelekim yedei tevara. So he knew that this thing would change his nature. He knew that he could make the change. But his imagination led him to believe that the change would be one which is desirable, somehow or other. He knew that this was the thing. Now, when he gave way to his imagination and he followed it, you see, then he was lost because the moment he did that, he didn't change actually at all. The fact that we mentioned that the second account was an account of Midas Harachamim. Why is it Midas Harachamim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in accordance with man's imperfection, in accordance with man's nature. In accordance with imperfection. That's why the account, in the second account, where do you have the account of Chava, how she was created? Where do you have it? Yes. It's in the second account. Why is it over there? Because it tells you in the first account, all it says is, right? In the second account, it says no. It says that Adam HaRishon was created, tell Hashem Elokim al Adam Lehem, and tell Hashem, may that serve Elohim, and see Yehom and Emerson. He yamar Hashem Elokim lo yitayv, hey, yitayv levaray. Esel ay eza kenegdai. Vayit Hashem Elokim in Adomo, kol chayas asada ve'ez kol eif Hashemayim, vayove yelo Adam liris ma yikra loy. V'chol ashi yikra loy Adam nefesh chaya, hu shimai. Listen to the psukim. Vayamar Hashem Elokim lo yitayv, hey, yitayv levaray, esel ay eza kenegdai. That's after the Tavor, right? Then Vayitzer Hashem Elokim in Adam Kol Chayas Asoda Ve'ez Kol Eif Hashemayim Vayove Elo Odom Miris Ma Yikra Loi V'chol Ashe Yikra Loi Odom Nefesh Chaya Hu Shemayim. That has nothing to do with what I said before. Next pasuk, Vayikra Odom Shemayim V'chol Abheimu Lo Eif Hashemayim V'chol Chayas Asoda U'lo Odom Lo Motzo Eze Kenegdai. What's one thing to do with the other? Vayikra Shemayim is Chachma Odom Lo Motzo Eze Kenegdai is something else. Right? It's a need. What's one thing to do with the other? Then Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tadei Malon Vayishan Vayikach Achas Mitzalaisa Vayisgar Bosa Tachpena. What is the Torah telling you over here? See, this is Midas HaRachmim. Midas HaRachmim means because it's because of his nature, because of his nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chava was created in a certain way. She was created in a certain way. Why? Why? What's the pshat? The pshat is like this. Vayikra Adam Shemayt means that he was involved in Chochmah. He was involved in Chochmah. Then it says, L'odam L'motza Eza Kenegda, it's the Chazal mentioned, Rashi brings down, and Melamed Shabor called Behem HaChayav Oif. That he lived with every Behem HaChayav Oif and he wasn't satisfied. What does it mean? What does it mean? It doesn't mean literally that he lived with every single Chayav Oif. It means like this. It means that a need, you see, he recognized that he had the need, but he recognized also that his need is different than their need. His need is different than their need. Because the animal, to the animal, mating is purely an instinctual act. Just instinctual. But on the Adam Le Motza Eza Kenegdai, he saw that just instinctual satisfaction would not satisfy him. Why wouldn't it satisfy him? Why wouldn't it satisfy him? Because he was, his instinctual nature was different because there was a psyche, and the psyche was different. His satisfaction had to be tied into a psychological factor as well. You see? That's why it says, when he says, Vayivin Arashem Lekim Chaseva Shalokach Min Ha'odom Le'isha Vayivieho El Ha'odom Vayemar Odom Zeis Ha'poam Etzem Me'atzomai Uvosor Mibisori Rezeis Yikari Isha Kine Ishku Kocha Zeis. So Chazal says Zeis Ha'poam, he means this. He saw that before his sexual activity was only simply the mating, he saw it just doesn't satisfy him. He understood that he was a different creature. With him it has to be a psychological factor. But the Torah emphasizes one aspect of the psychological factor. What is the aspect? That it came from him. What does it mean it came from him? Apparently, the construction of Chava, you see, had to be from Adam. Why? Because apparently it had a lot to do with the concept, with the psychological concept of his own self-love. You understand? His love for the self, had to somehow be tied in with the object of his love in order for him to be satisfied in terms of having a mate. But it couldn't be done simply on the instinctual level. That's why this is incorporated in the second account. Why? Because this is Midas HaRachmim. And this is creation in accordance with the specific, not in accordance with the main plan, Zachon HaKeva Baraisam. Create Zachon HaKeva. That's the blueprint that has to be Zachon HaKeva. But why in this way? Why in this specific way? Because of his nature. That's the blueprint that has to be Zachon HaKeva. So why in this way? Why in this specific way? Because of his nature. That's Midas HaRachmim. You follow what I mean? That's why this counts including Midas HaRachmim. But the basic idea is, the basic previous idea is, that what was the whole idea? He was an intellectual being, like the Rambam says. And then, the Adam Lemotza Eza Kenegdai means what? What was that? Adam Lemotza Eza Kenegdai? That he recognized the need. In other words, all his energy could not be consumed in the intellectual alone. There was a need. When he was analyzing, while he was analyzing the behemoth, and he came to analyzing the sexual activity, sexual sphere, then he saw that he was different. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to make a creature that was created in a way that it satisfied him, which his nature was different. There had to be a psychological satisfaction. You follow what I mean? That was etzemei atzamayu vasa mebisari. So first of all, he couldn't use up all his energy, but initially he was created, many learned that initially he was created to be alone. That if he could have utilized all his energy, he would have been able to be alone. He wouldn't need Chava, and that would be it. Only one of them, that would be it. Many learned that way. So therefore, the reason why he required Chava was due to an imperfection in his nature. He couldn't utilize all the energy. You see? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, because of his imperfection, he had to do it in a way that it would satisfy his need. Otherwise, again, he would always have that imperfection. You follow? So basically, the whole account, the whole second account, is all what? All Midas HaRachmim. You understand it? Okay. There's a difference between the first thing, in other words, the fact that he required Chava, and between the Chet. The fact that he required Chava wasn't the Chet. It's true that it could be that he could have been more perfected. It was a shortcoming, but it wasn't the Chet, because it didn't change qualitatively his life. In other words, so now he requires a mate, fine. So he has Chava, but as long as he has Chava, now he keeps on existing the same way as he did before. Just a matter of, okay, it's not as much, a little less. But there wasn't a change. In the second one, that's a shortcoming. He's not exactly up to 100% of what he could have been, even a little more, fine. But over here, it's a shortcoming because it's an integral change in his nature. Now he has a different life altogether. Now the life is totally different. Once he changed the way his energy works, then it's a qualitatively different life. It's not just a matter of a little less time. He's not learning as much or less. That's a shortcoming, but that's not a real chait. That's not a chait. Okay. Bobby asked a good question. The question is, that if this was an imperfection in man that he needed cover, so then why is it in the blueprint in the first account?
Oh.
So the answer is like this. Because since it's true that it was a shortcoming, the fact that he needed cover, it was a shortcoming. But it still was within the nature of man. The nature of man was that he could be a Ben Azai. Ben Azai didn't need it, never got married. Why? Because Ben Azai is Choshen Afshir B'Tera. But Ben Azai and Moshe Rabbeinu, you wouldn't say it's two different beings. See? This is one aspect. And so far as that's concerned, he could live this way, he could live that way. True, it's a little better if he could live this way, but it still is within the nature of men. They're both defined as the same nature. Masha'ina came. So therefore it's Din, right. Because Din, the first account, tells everything that's necessary within the nature of man as a creature. And as a creature, it was in his nature that he could require a woman. You see? It wasn't necessary, but it's within the nature of man. Whereas the Chait was a corruption of the nature. That's a totally different thing. Now he's changed from what he was before. Now he can't do these same things that he was before. He's involved totally in thought. Now he's involved in conflict. That's a different nature already. That's why that's in the Midas HaRachman, the addition of the conscience, you see? But Zachar Nekev is in the Midas HaDin, because it's within the nature of the thing, and the first one tells you everything that's within the nature of the thing. But the detail, you understand, but the detail of the creation has to be in the second account. Why? Because since it's brought about by man's action, that's defined as Midas HaRachman. That's why how she was created has to be in the second account. But the fact that she is created is in the first account. Okay. Yeah, Leslie Unger mentioned good point. It says that that's why according to Chazal that it was two patufim, right? So that's very good, because it was really, in other words, it wasn't simply if you say it's a new binyan, so then it's not as much as self love as if the way the other Chazal said it was two patufim, one against the other, and he split them off. So then it was really the love of the self. Because before that was a part of him, the same thing. The only thing was split. If you say it was an additional thing, so then it's not as much. The difference between the two pshatim would be how much of the self love is involved. If there was two, then he split them in half. So then there's only, the only change that took place was simply separation. But the entity exists before. See, the entity exists before as a part of him. If you say it was a new binyan, so then it's only the self love is only insofar as it came, it was generated from a part of himself. But it wasn't the exact same form as himself. You understand? I mean, that would be the machlokes in Chazal.